If you'll take your Bibles with me, please, just for a moment, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, for those of you who are visiting and perhaps not visiting, but you are viewing live stream and all, you'll remember, but those who are perhaps weren't with us last week are unaware that we started last Sunday, we started a series as we look at what God wants in a New Testament church. Whether it's in Asheville or whether it's in Shelby or whether it's here in Hendersonville or whether it's in South Africa, no matter where it is, this is God's will for the New Testament church. And we outline five things that from the Word of God, we're in this brief series. It's not going to go on forever, but at the moment, we don't know exactly how long it'll last, as long as it needs to, so that we can prepare our hearts and minds through understanding this is what God requires, this is what He wants, so that He can provide His blessing and use that New Testament church for His glory, to give the gospel and to help build saints in Himself and in His Son. And so five things. So some of you are taking just very diligent notes. And so I'm going to go over it again because I went over it kind of quickly last time. And we'll begin the first of those. Last time was basically an introduction. So here's what God requires. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 before we look at those notes. And we're going to start our reading just two verses. And in those verses, and this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, actually three verses. And it reads in this manner, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and he's talking about the New Testament church here, he was writing to the church at Ephesus, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So God will gather them together, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now, verse 12 is the verse that we're taking the theme from. That we should be right here and right now and in the dispensation to come. That we who know the Lord should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And then verse 13 talks about those who would be saved afterwards. But we took that first little phrase in verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. So that's the title of the series. Let me give you the five different subjects in that series. Not going to take a lot of time on it. We did that last Lord's Day. But let me give them to you. So if we at Calvary Baptist Church are going to be to the praise of his glory, then these five things need to be in place. Number one, the first one, I'll change papers here. The first one is principled in doctrine. Principled in doctrine because of biblical maturity. Principled in doctrine, that's how we are to be. We're to know what God says and to be principled in doctrine because of biblical immaturity. Number two is righteous in fellowship because of biblical influence. Righteous in fellowship as a New Testament believers, as we have influence on one another. So righteous in fellowship because of biblical influence. We are influencing one another in the Lord. Number three is accurate in conflict. What does the Bible say about conflict? There's all kinds of conflict to which we can be exposed or we get ourselves into it. What's the righteous way to deal with conflict? And in that we see biblical responsibility. Biblical responsibility. The fourth in the series is innocent in testimony. As we have a testimony at the workplace, a testimony among family members, a testimony among the assembly of believers here. So innocent testimony, why? Because of biblical integrity. Integrity has the idea that I'm going to do the right thing at the right time, at the right reason, in the right place. Biblical integrity. Number five is sincere in service. And that is because of having a biblical perspective. Biblical perspective. In other words, the way I see my service for the Lord, it's not so somebody will do something good for me or think better of me or so that I can maneuver around certain things, but rather, as I serve the Lord, there needs to be a sincerity, and we'll talk about it later, but the word sincere comes from a Greek word that has the idea without wax. A dishonorable artisan back in the first century that would form vases out of clay. And most of the time, the clay would just perform just perfectly, and he would shape it, and then it would be just like he wanted, and he could paint it, and it would be there in the storefront, and someone would come by. But then he sometimes would have one, maybe because of the kiln, or perhaps a problem with the clay itself. It would have a hairline crack in it. Well, the artisans of that day figured out if they would take wax, it's without wax, they would take wax and they would put it over that crack, and they would then paint over the wax. Then as an unsuspecting purchaser would come in and he would purchase that vase and he would look at it and say, oh, it's beautiful, the artwork on it, and I'm going to set that in my living room, or I'm going to set it somewhere where people can just enjoy the beauty of it. But they also found that from a consumer standpoint, if they would take that vase that had had wax covering a crack, if they would hold it up to the sunlight would reveal the crack through the wax. So that's where we get the word sincere, okay? And it's sincere in service with a biblical perspective, and then finally, engaged in vision. Engaged has the idea, we're doing it. We're about it. We want to be passionate about it. Engaged in vision. Why? Because of biblical callings. Because of biblical callings. So last week was the introduction, and today we're going to start. And today is a subject that most of us in here are very familiar, and yet it has to start here. If we don't get today's right, if we don't look at it correctly, then none of the rest of it will be in its proper perspective. We'll not see it correctly. And so we want to get it right as we pursue it today. So with that in mind, let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, I ask that you would enable me today to address this subject as we're talking about principled in doctrine because of biblical maturity. I pray, Lord, that we will realize that the only way I'm ever going to know biblical doctrine and live it out in my life so that I have your blessings is if I am biblical in everything I do, and in my maturity and my growing in you will reveal that maturity. We'll thank you for it and ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there are some family situations sometimes where maybe the parent just says, well, just don't do what I do, just do what I say. Don't you know what the Bible says? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Or children, obey your parents in the Lord, and they just deal with it as a matter of obedience. But there's never been really and just a real effort to help that young person not only understand, okay, I've got to be obedient to mom and daddy. Okay, don't touch the stove. Okay, I won't touch the stove. Get up and make your bed. Okay, I'll get up and make my bed. Do your studies. Okay, I'll do my studies. And so there's never been a concerted effort by the parent to really, as that young person grows up, to realize, okay, yes, I am to obey mom and daddy because that's what God commands, is to obey mom and daddy. But the concerted effort is to go beyond just the obedience and to reach the heart with an understanding, well, now here is why mom and dad require you to be obedient. It's not just because we don't want to have a disobedient child or a rebellious child, but by being obedient to mom and daddy, it prevents a lot of difficulties in your life. But not only will it prevent a lot of difficulties in your life, such as this, this, and this, because if you don't obey, you're going to keep going in this attitude or this action that's going to have some scars about it. But also, if you obey on the opposite side of that, there's going to be some blessings because you've learned how to obey mom and daddy. One of these days, you're going to be an employee, and it's going to help you to be obedient to your employer. Or it's going to help you to avoid being hurt or whatever else it is. And so as mom and daddy, as time-consuming as it is, it's of necessity that they go beyond just obey daddy because I'm daddy, you're the child. It's better for a child to be seen and not heard. So you just do what I say and we'll get along fine. And we'd say, wait a minute, that's not a good way to go about it. And I would agree with you because what's going to happen is that young person will obey. They will obey. They'll obey as long as they have to. But when they get away from home, maybe it's going away to college. Or when they're adult in their own right and they're going to have the attitude, wait a minute, there is no legitimate reason why I have to do that. Daddy said it, mama said it. I don't see any merit in it because I'm not even in that setting anymore. So I don't have to even listen to them. And if they're not, if there's not credibility in what they're telling me about this, there's probably not a lot of credibility in what they're telling me over here. So you know what? I don't really need anyone to tell me what to do. Okay? And of course, that's a difficult place for that person to be, as a young adult or as an older adult, because they've gone their own way. But also, I believe you might know and would agree, perhaps, that there are churches in which growing in the Lord has not really been an active factor in their lives. And that's the reason that your former pastors, certainly this pastor, is totally committed to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Because if all you do and all I do, as we're exposed to services week after week, Wednesday night and Sunday, and boy, we are active and we're just being obedient coming to church and we're just taking in the audible messages of it. But if the preacher is not disciplined in his teaching and his preaching of the word, and if the congregation is not disciplined in the hearing and the applying of the word of God, then there is easily that attitude, well, I'm being obedient. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. I'm coming to church. I'm putting in my tithe and my offering, and I'm good to go. And if we're not careful, sooner or later there comes that ambition, because the Bible says in Romans 7:21, when I would do good, evil is present with me. It doesn't mean that, okay, I'm doing good, I'm coming to church, so I have to be careful that when I leave church, I'm going to go cuss somebody out, or I'm going to go rob the dime store, or the $100 stores, or whatever it is now, all right? So, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do something awful and wicked like that, but it may be that when you're doing good, and you're not maturing in the Lord at mock speed, as someone would say, as quickly as you can, and you're absorbing, you're like that sponge that's soaking in. Not because the preacher is eloquent or anything else, but when we open the Word of God and diving into it and saying, wait a minute, no, I haven't, I just, you know, I'm obedient, I come to church. And yet because we know that when we would do good, evil is present with me, there's going to be an inclination by individuals, I know I've been that way, that when you leave, you say, oh, that was good. Yes, praise God for the preacher and the choir. Oh, that the violent holy, oh, that was glorious. Praise God for all of that. But that's all that happens until Wednesday night. And that's all that happens until, and sooner or later, they start scratching their heads when their flesh and their lust, their passion, they want to do something that violates a Bible principle. Well, you know what? I don't see any credible reason why I should do that. So if the preacher is not diligent in helping us to realize the Bible doctrine is there so that we will know God's standard for everything that we do in life, that He has a will concerning your recreation. He has a will concerning your dress. He has a will concerning how you drive your automobile. He has a will concerning your investments. He has a will concerning every issue of life. That when we understand that, we have to come to this place, principled maturity, or principled in doctrine. And that principle and doctrine saying, wait a minute, what does God say? My life is different than my dear sister's over here. My life is different than Brother Ron's that taught Sunday school just a few moments ago. So I can't live the life my sister will need to live, or nor his. What my responsibility is to say, now, wait a minute, Lord, this is Randy Bray's life, and I need to live this life in a principled manner. If I'm just obedient and I'm just obeying what I see on the just on the surface, and I'm not growing in the Lord, and I'm not disciplined in doctrine, in the teachings of the Word of God, I'm going to be like a surgeon who just barely makes it through. And when something happens in the course of surgery, or maybe it's in the car repair or whatever it is, and they're in the course of doing it, and they, well, I don't know exactly what to do, so I, you know what, I'm just going to wing it and just do the best that I can. And brother and sister, I'm just Randy Bray, but I would dare say that there's many a church in North Carolina, and perhaps even in this county, where many in the congregation are satisfied to just come and just kind of just do their thing on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday. And instead of actively growing in the Lord, hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, because their daddies or their mamas or their young people, or they're employed or they're not employed, or they're young of age or they're senior of age. And my goodness, why, I'm not in heaven yet. I better be studying the Word of God for my setting in life so that I can be principled in doctrine. Well, with that in mind, let's just nothing difficult this morning. But oh, I pray that it will just encourage your heart to say, you know what? That makes sense. I need to be in the Word of God. Because if I'm not principled in doctrine, that is a red flag. It's a neon sign flashing off and on. The red flag waving and saying, wait a minute. If I'm not principled, if I don't know what the doctrine simply means teaching, what the Bible teaches about my setting in life, single or married, young or old, rich or poor, if I don't know what God says in the Bible about my setting in life, what is that saying about me? It's saying I'm not maturing in Christ. And it looks like everything's okay, but maybe it's not. Just before we left Asheville, about 2 years before we left Asheville, we had a house to be built. And a tremendous contractor, just excellent, just excellent. One day, he walks around with a Gippy arm, I think they call it. He walks around with a Gippy arm. But just excellent, builds really nice homes. And they were building our home, and I'd gotten to know him. And I said, hey, whatever happened, why is your arm the way it is? And he looked, and he said, well, and I forget how long earlier it was. He said, several years earlier, he says, I was up, it was about a two-story house, three-story house, whatever it was, way up. And I was checking everything out that the workers were doing and all of that. And it's plywood all over that. And they'd covered some things to keep water out and so forth. And they'd covered one area where the chimney was going to go. And he just assumed it was something they were keeping, dry and so forth, and thought that it was had the plywood there that he could just walk on. And so as he's walking along and he's inspecting this and inspecting that to make sure they're doing it according to specs, he stepped into that and he fell through it. Okay? Now, did he just belligerently go, ha, ha, I'm not going to fall. I know that plastic, and I know how strong it is. It can hold my weight. No. He assumed that because everything else up there was safe for him to walk on, and that black covering, that black plastic, was covering other things that were secure and nothing was wrong with it. He just assumed that it was going to hold his weight. And he assumed wrongly, and he pays for it to this day. This morning, we're going to look at this in just a few minutes. But as we look at it, what does God's Word say about life? Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Would you do that with me? To the book of Psalms. And to the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, which of course would be what chapter? 119. And so we're going to do a verse-by-verse study of Psalms. No, we're not. All right. We'd have to be here till supper time and beyond if we did that. But when you and I look at this matter of principled in doctrine, biblically mature, or biblical in maturity, what I'd like to do is reverse the order of how we've been saying it, because principled in doctrine only comes after we are mature in the Word of God, biblically mature. And so as we look for just a moment at Psalm 119, there's 176 verses. I went through each verse and began to just, if you see my Bible, it's not the neatest in the world because I have some eye problems, but also I take notes in my Bible. And so I kind of write big and I write this way and I do that and I have little emblems that I use. So as I began going through it, because this chapter, every verse has something to say about the Word of God. And so as I, and of course the rest of the Word of God says a lot about teaching and other things, but there's three subjects that come up over and over and over in Psalm 119. The first is this: God's Word has to deal with His standards. God's Word has to deal with His standards. God has a standard for every venue or every area of life, every one of them. Whether it's child rearing, whether it's marriage, whether it's in grieving, whether it's in whatever the subject is, God has His Word to help us to understand. Here is a righteous perspective in that setting. So what I'd like you to do is just look at, and again, as I look through Psalm 119, I found 15 key verses. We're not going to look at those. We're only going to look at one. But 15, now there's probably some others in there. But, oh, that's talking about God's standard, God's Word and His standards. And that's in verse number 3. Notice, if you will, with me, as it says this: they also do no iniquity. That's the result. They walk in His ways. God has a way for you to walk this day. Now, we're not talking about pigeon-toed or bow-legged or any of those kinds of things in the manner that we physically may walk. But God has His steps, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. So God has a way that He wants us to walk. I found 15 other verses or 14 other verses that deal with the walk of the Lord. Dear friend, when you and I understand that we're going through difficulties of life, maybe it's sickness, maybe it is in your work, maybe it's in a financial reversal, whatever it is, there is a biblical perspective that God has us to have. Many years ago, a number of years ago, in fact, our daughter teaches at Temple Baptist School where I was the pastor, and she still teaches there. And she has a student in that class that a number of years ago, there was a young man that came to see me, and I think I may have told this story earlier, but let me give it just once again very quickly, that was very immoral before he got saved and grew up as a fighter. His parents owned a thing that taught how to fight with the martial arts and different kinds of things, but also he was a street fighter, just a rough and tough, just nails kind of a guy, and very immoral, didn't care with whom he had illicit relationships and so forth. Long story short, and I don't know why he came to see me, but one day he just showed up at my office there at Temple, and we just chatted for quite a while. And he left, and maybe a week or two later, he came back, and that went on for maybe 6 or 8 months. He would just show up. Sometimes he would call, but most of the time he'd just show up and say, "Can we talk? Can we talk?" Well, long story short, one day he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, got down on his knees in my office, and like a little child just said, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell, but I know Jesus died in my place. I'm asking Him to come into my heart and wash away my sins." And so praise the Lord for that. Well, not too long after he got saved, it was a little while after he got saved, he had a knock on the door. And have I told this in here? I've not. Okay, got a knock on the door. An individual said, "Are you so-and-so?" Well, he gave the name. He didn't say so-and-so. He said, "Are you whatever the name is?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And he hit him in the face. Just hit him in the face. And he said, "You don't know who I am, but I am so-and-so's husband." He said, I know why you did what you did. He said, "I deserved it." The guy paused for a moment. This friend of mine, my brother in Christ, said, "You want to do it again?" He says, "Yeah, as a matter of fact." And he hit him again in the face. When he came to see me right after that, he was almost unrecognizable. His face was all bloated out because of the injury. Well, that's not the end of the story. It's probably 2 or 3 months later, I don't remember exactly how long later, he gets a call from this guy. He said, "My life is a wreck. My marriage is a wreck. My whole life is a wreck. I need what you have." He said, I know your testimony. He said, "I know what you're capable of. When I hit you, you could have killed me probably in about 2 punches, maybe one. You could have killed me, but you chose not to. Whatever kept you from killing me and even doing anything and inviting me to hit you again, I need what you have." And he had the joy of telling him about the Lord Jesus. Now, here's my point. The only way he could do, and the only reason he did do what he did, as even a new Christian, he came to that point where he said, "Wait a minute, before I'd have mopped the floor with him, I would have thrown him out as just trash after whatever and wouldn't have even thought about it. Here's a man that came to my front door and assaulted me, and I had all legal rights to protect myself, and because of my training, I just happened to go too far and it took care of him." But he didn't. He knew there was a righteous way to respond even in that setting, and it enabled him to tell that man about Christ. And now his children are actually at Temple Baptist School. What a change it's made in their home. And my point is this, that God gives us his standards for every venue of life, every aspect of what you're going through. That's why it's not good enough for you just to come and sit. And I'm glad you're here. Don't go away. I'm glad you're here. But when you're here, may it just be that appetizer. It just whets your appetite for more study of the Word of God. Get a Strong's Concordance. Get some other Bible helps to help you to understand some words. Go back into the original language, and anybody can do that. You don't have to know Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. And the only Hebrew I know is some guys that were about that tall that sold at different stores or that I knew in a neighborhood. You and I can study those languages as far as what one word means on a little app on your telephone. I was trying to remember the name of mine, I can't think of it at the moment. But here's the point, is that when you and I study the Word of God as someone who's gone through maybe a miscarriage or postpartum depression, or whatever it is, and say, "That's my setting in life right now, and God has something to say about that, I better get to the Word of God and find out." Because that principled doctrine is what will produce biblical maturity. And the more you and I are in the Word of God, we're going to find, like that little child that is fed just exactly as he or she should be. And as they begin to grow and they begin to, with a mom and daddy putting their head against the door, and they mark it and say, "That's where you are." And 2 years later, they mark it and so forth. And you're familiar with that, I know. And it shows progression, shows maturity. That if you and I are not maturing in the Lord and we're just satisfied to be obedient, that's all, we're obedient. We come to church. We don't go to wherever or ever. And last night we weren't at the bar and doing this and that and the other. No, we're being obedient. But if we're not growing, sooner or later there's going to come a temptation right along your desire to be obedient. And there's going to be something that is going to violate the Bible principle, but it doesn't tell you that up front. It just tells you, wait a minute, it's okay, you can do that. And you're still being obedient over here, and that's okay. When through ignorance, you go ahead and you do the wrong thing, and you give into it, and it leads you right into sin. If we're going to be the assembly of believers God wants us to be, oh, it begins with all God's Word says about biblical maturity, because in it is God's standard. And it's not only God's standard, but it's His sufficiency as well. Oh, as you and I have the joy of looking at that and seeing His Word is sufficient for us, go to verse number 6, if you will. And verse number 6, it says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." When you and I know what the Word of God says about my station in life as your pastor, God has the way He wants me to pastor, I better be diligent in my study of that. Well, verse 6 says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." So that means if I study, being your pastor, everything God requires and desires for me to be as your pastor, then when I appear before the Lord Jesus and when I serve you, before then, when I serve you as your pastor, I'll not have to be ashamed because I was, oh, was I supposed to do that? Oh, I really didn't know that. I'm sorry. Or tragically, if it continues in that way and I appear before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and I'm giving an account of how I pastored, and I shall do that, and the Lord Jesus says, "Randy, you pastored Calvary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Now here's what my word said. Here's the standard about what you were to do as their pastor. Why didn't you fulfill that?" Oh, I'm sorry. But if I'm a diligent student of the Word, and I go, oh, wait a minute, there's another area I haven't thought about. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me the insight of your Word of God to say this is the way I'm to be a pastor. Oh, I haven't thought about that before. And so I begin pastoring according to the Word. Then I'll not be ashamed when I'm before you as your pastor. And I come and I serve you in that capacity. And as blessed as that opportunity is, when I stand before the Lord, and that's the idea that I'll not be ashamed because I have been obedient, and because I was obedient, it was blessed of the Lord. The Word of God found in Psalm 119 deals with this matter of biblical immaturity because His Word has the standards, His Word has its sufficiency, and then we see now the third of those themes in Psalm 119 is the sanctifying process, His sanctification. Just look at verse number 9, and there's so many more. We could go to verse 104 and 29 others or 28 others, but let's just look at verse number 9. You're familiar with it. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Notice what it says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Oh, there's a sanctifying. The word sanctify is kind of a 30-cent word, and it really has this idea in mind. If you look it up in the original language, it has the word holy right in the middle of it. It does. It has the idea of holiness before the Lord and a building process as well. And I'm going to have to go back and remember the word. I may have misused that word. Sanctify. Is it holy or building? Hoikos or oina? I'm sorry. But it has the idea that it's set apart is the idea. No, it is holy because it has the idea of set apart, okay? And hagios is the Greek word. It has the idea to set apart. Well, when you and I look at the Word of God and we say, wait a minute, yes, it is His standards are written there. And not only that, His sufficiency. But when you and I individually in our own lives because of our own individual opportunities and responsibilities as a parent, as whatever, we see His standards, here's the way to do it, and we will live out His sufficiency, because He says just Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be" what? "Added unto you." So that when we're doing that, Oh my goodness. We're not going to be ashamed because it is sufficient, but also we see the sanctifying process. Well, let's look at verse number 104 just very quickly. It's only a couple pages over in my Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever been somewhere and it's just maybe you thought you could make it back before it got dark and it became dark and you're just making your way and then, oh, that maybe some clouds came in a little, maybe you're in the woods and because of the trees, the light was distorted and it was really a hard place to see and it was maybe kind of tricky and you're walking and you have to be really careful. Look at this verse. Verse 104, and I'll get back to it here. I think I quoted the wrong verse. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Okay, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So when you and I understand, oh, this is why God gives us his word. He gives it to us for his standards, for sufficiency, for his sanctifying process. As it says, therefore I hate every false way. When you and I understand what God's doing, and maybe this way seemed just right for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, the last 2 or 3 weeks, everything seems fine. But it's not good enough to you to just be in the Word when you're at church and maybe you listen to a radio broadcast. No, you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And you know your setting is unique to you. No one else travels your journey. And if God's Word says everything you need to know about your journey, then you know I better get in the Word of God. And as you and I are engaged in that on a daily basis and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, so that we can rightly divide the word of truth, and we're engaged in that walk, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, Randy. Now, you were comfortable with this yesterday, but you're not comfortable with this today. That's not the right way. And it's like, I almost mentioned his name, it's like my friend that, wait a minute, you could just clean the clock with this guy's body. And that would have been something you would have been comfortable with before. You had done that with many others. But this is a different setting. You're God's child now. There's a righteous way to go about it. And when you and I do that which is righteous, we're going to find God's blessing. One last passage I'll invite you to turn, and that's in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Just briefly, will you turn there with me, please? 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll visit this text many, many times as God allows us to be together over the years, because this passage is so very important to that sanctifying, that setting apart process, to where we have God's blessings in our lives and we leave behind the things that bring the scars and the trials that are unnecessary. Notice verse number 3. According as his divine power, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything we need for life and everything we need for eternity, for godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How many of you here this morning, by way of a good hearty amen, you know you're saved and in the family of God? Amen? Amen. Good hearty amen there. Praise the Lord. There are some things you don't have to pray about concerning God's will in your life. This is one of those. He says, through the knowledge of him, the last part of verse 3, that hath called us. That's God's calling on your life and mine too. He's called us to glory, to bring glory to God, and to virtue. That's doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place. That's your unique setting and mine too. Okay, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what God wants. By your being obedient, and not just being obedient out of, okay, I got to be obedient, but being obedient because you want to be like Christ, Romans 8:29. And when you pursue that, And you come up against an attitude or an action or whatever it is, and because you've studied the Word of God, say, oh, I know what God wants me to do in this. Yes, this is a tragedy, and God wants me to respond this way. Or this is a great opportunity, and here's how God wants me to respond. When you and I are engaged in that, he says that we will be partakers of the divine nature. God's love, God's joy, God's long-suffering, God's peace, God's gentleness, God's... We're going to be a partaker in that. Not that we just, oh, okay, we reach up and grab it, we reach up and grab it. No, as we are walking after the Spirit, and we are, God says we'll be partakers of the divine nature. Notice what it says in the last of that verse, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You see, your old flesh and mine too, it has a defiled answer for every situation in life that you're going to go through. And for me too. Every one of us. Doesn't matter what it is, what day it is, what month it is, how your health is, what your finance, your flesh and mine, that old thing that's energized by the devil himself, it has a defiled way of responding to every issue of life. Even as God has a divine way of responding to every issue in life. The differential, what makes the difference, is our will. Here's God's will, here's Satan's will, and here's my will. Which one of those, God's will or Satan's, am I going to apply to the situation I'm in right now? The tragedy is if we don't know. Now, sometimes we're not going to know. There's a whole lot of things I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't even know how much I don't know. That's a lot. But when God can enable me to know how to respond through his word, oh, how wise I am and how blessed I'll be, and we will be as a church. When we understand God has a way, and so as we talked about principle in doctrine, that sounds like an academic term, but it's a very much put on the shoes kind of a setting where, wait a minute, I better get in the Bible and maybe read Philippians through every day for 30 days. Doesn't take long, 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the most. And if I'll read that through every day for 30 days, boy, it's going to feed my soul. And I'll learn so very much about God and his will in my life. And I'll accidentally memorize a lot of those verses just by the repetition of it. Maybe I better start that kind of a Bible study or another kind, so that I can rightly respond to the standards that God has for me, that I will then find to be sufficient for life. And I'll not be ashamed. And so that, finally, I will have that opportunity of sanctification or maturing in Christ and hear him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I trust that you and I will, as we have this grand opportunity to grow in him, be used of him some way every day by maturing in his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Psalm 119 goes into very great detail as to all the ways we benefit, all the ways we are commanded, all the ways we are exhorted to be in your word, and all the blessings of doing it. So, Father, I pray that it will continue to excite my heart and the hearts of these we love here at Calvary Baptist Church, and that you love, so that, Father, in mine and their hearts, we as one will say, Lord, have thine own way. Lord, just whatever you want to do in my life, in every setting of life, in my home, in my schooling, in my work, whatever it is, I want to respond biblically. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray.